Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
Hey, guys, you know how much I love Tommy John's underwear, undershirts, and their socks. They are the best. Yet, you know what? We're getting a lot of feedback from Hannity listeners, too. And guess what? Tommy John sent me a few testimonials from real live Sean Hannity Show listeners, so I'm going to share them with you. Dave says, I can't believe I'm saying this, but they have actually changed my life. Mark says, great materials, great fit, a great example of how doing something very basic, very well, can make a surprisingly positive impact on the quality of life. And Gary says, my grumpy stepfather actually thanked me for the gift of Tommy John's. That's a first in the 40 years I've known him. Louise says, my husband is walking, bending, and lifting all day. This is the first pair of underwear that doesn't roll down and ride up. He loves them. Now, you've heard the reviews. What are you waiting for? You have nothing to lose with Tommy John. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee. Just go to TommyJohn.com/Hannity. You get 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Hannity. 20% off.
Hey, welcome to the Sean Hannity Show. It's Mark Simone here for Sean. He's not with us right now. He had, well, what could be more important than being here? Well, he's actually with the President of the United States, actually on his way there, because tonight, a big exclusive edition of Hannity, 9 p.m., Fox News Channel, interview with the President of the United States. I have a live audience, and it'll be quite a program. That's tonight at 9 o'clock. You know, since Hannity moved back to 9 o'clock, the ratings have been huge. In fact, last week he was beating CNN and MSNBC combined. And then, that's true. And then he started beating Rachel Maddow by double. He had literally doubled the audience. This is not enough for him. Now he's got an exclusive with the President of the United States. Before this week is over, it'll be triple Rachel Maddow. But she's going to have part two with Ronan Farrow, so I'm sure it'll be a tough competition. And, hey, we'll be talking about Harvey Weinstein. He's here right now, by the way. He's over there in his bathrobe. Harvey, I'm not watching. Stop. But he's in a mess. It's getting worse, and there's more coming. The first few days, it was all casting couch, you know, that kind of stuff. Now you got three rape allegations. One has been documented by the NYPD. And there's more coming. There may be some incidents of getting a little violent with men, pushing somebody down something, or just a little rough. You read that story the other day about Nathan Lane, the Broadway star, how he threw him up against the wall. There may be a few more of those coming. So we'll get to Harvey Weinstein. We'll get to the president. He's going to speak later today about taxes, about reform. And also, with Obamacare, it looks like some things can be done through executive order. And then, of course, we'll get to the NFL. The owners, the commissioner, backing down. They realize they painted themselves into a costly corner, and they're trying to get out of this jam. So we'll talk about that. We'll have some great guests. Lou Dobbs will be with us, and we'll talk about that a little later this hour. Larry Kudlow will talk about the tax plan. You know, listen, obviously the media goes after Donald Trump like crazy. All the networks, all the newspapers are going after him, and all these Hollywood people are going after him and after him. But even Eminem has joined in, and he's recorded a hell of a song. This is really something. I like Eminem. I'm actually a fan of his. But this, what a musical masterpiece. Can we hear just a sample of it?
That's an awfully hot coffee pot. Should I drop it on Donald Trump? Probably not, but that's all I got till I come up with a solid. Got a plan and now I got a hatchet like a damn Apache with a tomahawk. I'ma walk inside a mosque on Ramadan and
all right, I think we get the idea. This is not the monster of any of his hits. This was for the BET Awards. I guarantee you he wrote this in the car on the way over there. This guy's written some brilliant, brilliant masterpieces. He's a poet of the 21st century. This, I guarantee you, somebody thought of this and they wrote it in the car on the way over. It's freestyle, no music, which tells you, first of all, it's for the BET Awards. If he thought this had any value whatsoever, if he thought there was any chance you could release this as a single, this would have had, the music would have been there, it would have been all ready to go, he would have debuted it on the show, sold a million copies. He knows this is going no place. I mean, he has written some brilliant lyrics, but listen to this again. This is, Look, take a listen to this.
That's an awfully hot coffee pot. Should I drop it on Donald Trump? Probably not, but that's all I got till I come up with a solid...
All right, I take it back. He didn't write that in the car. He probably wrote that in the elevator on the way. They probably already got there. if you didn't know who this guy was and he walked in and played that for you, he'd throw him the hell out of your office. I mean, that's... all. But this is, listen, this is tradition. Remember when George W. Bush was president? Rolling Stones went after him in that song. Remember they went after Condi Rice, sweet little neocon or whatever. Woman who's never been a neocon in her life. She was suddenly a neocon. When Reagan was president, I don't know who would have been doing that. There were bad songs about Reagan back in the 80s. It's tradition. So we'll get to that. We'll get to Las Vegas. Something fishy going on in Las Vegas. I mean, whenever there's anything like this, you always hear these weird conspiracies. It was two shooters. I'm not buying any of that. But something is a little off there. The timeline of the police department, it could just be the fog of war, but things are not matching up with what's coming out. But it looks like the security guard was killed first, 6 or 7 minutes before the attack began. This is the Mandalay Bay Hotel. It's owned by the MGM Grand Company. They own a lot of Las Vegas hotels. And the problem is, once all this dies down, I think you're going to see a ton of lawsuits against the hotel. And that Steve Wynn owns the other company, the Wynn Hotels. That didn't help lawsuit-wise because he went on television and he said, my hotels, we have these rules. If a do not disturb sign is up for more than 2 days, we enter the room, we check. Yeah, well, he said 12 hours, we'd call you. In 2 days, we'll come in the room no matter what. And then if... I think at some point he had to bring all this stuff into the hotel bit by bit. At some point he used a service elevator, and Steve Wynn said, no guest ever gets on a service elevator in our hotel without security watching them. You never get behind the scenes. You never get through the back door ever without us checking. So if there's going to be lawsuits, they'll bring in the Steve Wynn video, and they'll say, well, if this is his standard, why weren't you using these standards in your hotel? So there's going to be a lot of this. Also, the Weinstein Company will get sued like crazy by all kinds of women. You've heard 30 women have come forward. I guarantee you it's 300 and it could be 3,000. They'll all be suing the board for failing to provide proper oversight. That's a common thing. You sue the board of directors because they should have known about this and done something long ago. And then it's very easy to prove that a lot of people knew about this. I mean, listen, I knew about this stuff going on with him. And everybody in the whole entertainment business knew about this for years. You remember the show 30 Rock? They used to do jokes about this. There was an Academy Award speech once. Who was it? Seth MacFarlane? Yeah, he got up in his speech. He said, now there were five nominees. He goes, these are five people that don't have to pretend they find Harvey attractive anymore. So
the 2012 nominees for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role are Sally Field in Lincoln, Anne Hathaway in Les Miserables, Jackie Weaver in Silver Linings Playbook, Helen Hunt in The Sessions, and Amy Adams in The Master. Congratulations, you five ladies no longer have to pretend to be attracted to Harvey Weinstein.
Now, that's a big Hollywood audience. Those are all Hollywood insiders. You notice the audience didn't go, huh? What does that mean? They all knew right away what that meant. They were all laughing. So be a lot of lawsuits. You could sue NBC because Ronan Farrow brought them the story, and they didn't do it. Why didn't they do it? I don't know. I do know that NBC has been partners with Harvey Weinstein on things. It's Universal NBC, the parent company. They've produced movies together. Harvey Weinstein supplies TV programming to NBC. Bravo, Project Runway, that comes from Harvey Weinstein. So I don't know why they killed the story. It's a compelling story. And listen, one of these women, this was 2015, 2 years ago, went to the NYPD, the New York City Police Department, told what happened. There are all kinds of police records of the interview. They've documented this. They sent her back to Harvey Weinstein wearing a wire. And he admitted on the audio recording, she said, what you did to me yesterday when you grabbed my breast, he said, I know, I won't do it again. There was a multiple times of that. So there could still be criminal charges if somebody wanted to go forward with that. It went to the district attorney, and the district attorney in New York decided not to prosecute. I don't know why. But there are many, many, many more. Look at all the women that are coming out. Gwyneth Paltrow, Mira Sorvino, Angelina Jolie. Linda, you never met Harvey Weinstein. No, we can tell, because had this happened with Linda, he would have been out the window of the Tribeca Grand Hotel on the sidewalk.
We're on a very high floor here, and I think I could have propelled him quite far.
Quite far, and then the bathrobe would be lying next to him there.
Oh, that bathrobe would have just given him more flight to the ground.
And I think that a lot of women, one of the hotels he used a lot was the Tribeca Grand. I think a lot of the women there in housekeeping are realizing they might have touched those robes and that, oh, God, they're probably tracking it down and burning it as we speak. You know who I feel bad for is Meryl Streep. First of all, she's defending the guy, you know, through the years. And then now she's reading this and she goes, huh, never propositioned me. How come? And then she said to herself, well, he just did that with the young unknown actress. He never did that with any stars. Now she's reading the paper today. Gwyneth Paltrow, Mira Sorvino, Angelina Jolie. You got to think to yourself, sure, how come he never came on to me? Well, maybe because she's not the – you wouldn't think – it's like she's like Linda. You wouldn't even dare. You wouldn't try it for a second. Anyway, we've got lots to get to. We'll get the NFL. You know, one thing about these players, somebody put together a list of all these NFL players. You know, 400 of them have massive criminal records, all kinds of criminal records. I mean, big things like rape, murder, shooting, drugs. 400 NFL players have this on. Did anybody kneel for them or anything? I mean, it's I mentioned that on the air or today on my own show, and then somebody sent me, you're wrong, it's 625 NFL players. You take any group of people, I don't think you'll find 600 people with criminal records in there. That's a lot. So the Mandalay Bay security guard, he's the one who confronted the shooter, and he's the one. Oh, my. They said he died, and now he's recovered. He's back home. No, I didn't say he died. I did? I didn't mean to say that.
Well, that's why we're here for you, Mark, so we can remind you of what you said 5 minutes ago.
I'm sorry.
So we just wanted everybody to know that Mr. Campos is home and recovering.
Oh, I didn't mean to say he died.
And he's doing well, and he's alive and well, and he's a hero.
What do you want? I wasn't listening.
You're talking, I'm listening. It's a wonderful combination.
I didn't mean
You're welcome.
Oh, okay. But he first confronted. We still can't figure out the motive. There's still no hint of a motive. Although, at one point, this guy sued one of the hotels because he took a bad fall. He's a very wealthy guy, yet he sued. And then they had to do a lengthy deposition where they cross-examined him. And he admitted to all kinds of drugs, depression drugs, and stuff like that. I don't know, but he apparently been on them for years. Could that make you snap? Look who I'm asking. Linda.
What does that mean?
I can't picture you on a depression.
At least I'm listening.
No, I don't picture you on any depression drugs.
I don't need depression. No, I have the subway. I get all my aggression out on the subway.
You would never have depression. You're just a carrier.
I'm happy, happy, happy.
She's very happy. But I don't know. I still can't think of a motive. It's so unusual for a guy to get to that age, 64, and have no sign of anything. There's not any behavior in his past.
You know what else is really odd, and no one has said this, and maybe you would have the same opinion, is that the girlfriend said that the reason that he sent her to the Philippines was because he found a cheap ticket. Then he sent her $100,000 while she was there.
That could be, because he's a big spender. He was gambling millions, and he admitted in that deposition that he always brought his own drinks into the high roller place because he didn't want to have to tip. When you're the high roller, you get the drinks for free, but you have to leave a big tip. So he would bring his own alcohol in there.
It's a very bizarre combination.
Well, there are people like that, very wealthy people. They get very cheap on every little thing. They have their coupons and all this stuff. So I don't know what their relationship with the girlfriend. Do we think she's totally innocent of any knowledge of this?
Definitely not.
No?
That's my opinion, my humble opinion. This is not news. This is opinion.
Well, it could be she knew more than she was saying about his mental state or his nightmares or whatever. The brother that you see on TV, that brother, something's very wrong there. I don't think he's cuckoo. Some people think he's nuts. Now, I think he's overacting. He's playing a character there. When he says, I don't know how this happened, he's like overacting. I think he might know something. And then there was another brother who was a real criminal, had a lot of arrests and got caught in a lot of crimes. And then the father was a major criminal who was in prison a long time. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever figure this out, because If you haven't got it by now, I don't know where you're going to find the answer to this question. He didn't seem to know anybody except this this girlfriend and the family. He lived in a retirement community. Usually, there are a bunch of busybodies who know everybody's business, but nobody seems to know anything about this guy. So I don't know that we'll ever get to the bottom of this. But we'll figure out this Harvey Weinstein thing in a moment. Hey, also, we've got to thank Sean. We did a big charity benefit yesterday, the Police Athletic League. Our speaker canceled at the last second. Anthony Scaramucci canceled. He was stuck in Los Angeles. We had sold out the place. What do you do when you're a charity and you need help? Sean Hannity. He was there in a second, made an incredible speech, got a standing ovation. And as a guy, you can always count on when you need him. Actually, go to Instagram. You can see pictures of it. Mark Simone NY at Instagram or Mark Simone NY at Twitter. And don't forget Hannity tonight, 9 o'clock, exclusive interview with the President of the United States tonight at 9 on the Fox News Channel. Hey, welcome back. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Sean is on his way to Pennsylvania right now to meet with President Trump. And tonight, big special live broadcast, 9 o'clock, exclusive interview with the president. Hannity tonight, 9 o'clock. The president will be the guest for the hour, and it's tonight at 9. He'll be back, of course, here tomorrow. Also, we'll talk to Lou Dobbs in just a moment. He'll be here in a few minutes. We'll talk about the NFL and all of that. Oh, hey, the Russia probe, you know, this is big. This is big, the Russia collusion. There's so much there that in 9 months of investigating, they've yet to find anything, but the Senate, it's the House Intelligence Committee. That's this guy Schiff you always see on television. This guy makes Chuck Schumer look sincere. This Schiff is all over the place. So everybody's, you know, whenever he shows up on TV now, everybody looks at him like, wait, isn't this like a year? You didn't find anything? They're going to release some of the Facebook ads. Aha, we've gotten to the bottom of it. Do you see they found out they put 3,000 Facebook ads up? That's out of $30 billion a year ads on Facebook. I know restaurants have put up more than 3,000 ads. It didn't mean anything. Did you see any of these ads? I'm on Facebook all day. I never saw a single ad for anything. Anyway, Lou Dobbs will be with us in just a moment. We'll get to the NFL and this ridiculous controversy coming up next.
Coach, if you were coaching the Bears or the Saints or any other team in the National Football League, would it be your policy that either you stand for the national anthem or you don't play?
Yes. I don't care who you are, how much money you make. If you don't respect our country, then you shouldn't be in this country playing football. Go to another country and play football. If you had to go somewhere else and try to play the sport, you wouldn't have a job. So that would be my take. If you can't respect the flag and the country, then you don't respect what this is all about. So I would say adios.
I think there's been somewhat of disappointment with a lot of folks on how our country's been looked at, how our flag has been treated with respect. But going back to what Colin Kaepernick initially did, it was to point out some injustice that's being done to the black race or to people that obviously, when you look, and I say obviously, some of these dash cams and shootings that were done to unarmed people and all, he was reaching out to try and get it more investigated. So that's where this oppression thing comes in. But I don't understand the NFL owners. I mean, here we're working. If somebody walks across here with a sign right now protesting, excuse me, you're going to let them do that?
Nope.
No. Well, initially, when this took place, that's the NFL ownership. They own that theater at the time. They own that stage. Are you going to allow protests out there? They don't allow players to wear different signs on their shoes. They
NBA
don't allow
has
players
to stand for the national anthem.
You know what? That's because they've been told to. But no one told Colin Kaepernick prior to that that they had to. We just assumed it was the right thing to do. It's always been the right thing to do, to live in this country.
Sure.
Thank the good Lord.
Well, it's a big controversy. Listen, Lou Dobbs has been on top of this from the beginning. Oh, by the way, I got a new TiVo. First thing I did when you set your programs you want recorded every night, Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock, Fox Business Network. Hannity, of course, 9 o'clock on the Fox News Channel. Lou Dobbs, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
And by the way, Lou Dobbs has a new book out, a great novel called Putin's Gambit. That's your second novel, right? And a bestseller.
Second thriller. You know, everything else is nonfiction. The editor, the executive editor of Tor Books asked us to write a thriller. I had a thrill writing a thriller. So it's been great.
Yeah, but there's a lot of fiction books out. I read this Hillary Clinton book.
I love the story, Mark, about President Bill Clinton telling her, don't do this. You got to fix this, this, and this. And she said, the hell with you. And they haven't been seen together since. So.
Well, you know, how does she say to herself, what does he know about running for president? How could she even think that? But
You know, Al Gore thought the same thing, paid a price.
Yeah. Hey, the NFL, you pointed this out a couple weeks ago. If you look at the NFL logo on every helmet, it's based on the flag. That's the
Absolutely.
Symbol of
there is no accounting for the lack of mental energy on the part of the players who are protesting. They're inconsistent, contradictory, they're disrespectful, they're insulting, and I don't know why anybody would pay any attention to them at all. Their message is one of disrespect and insult to the flag, to the anthem, to the American people, this great nation. And why anybody would put up with that and go to the game, I don't know. My wife and I decided, Mark, that's it. We canceled our DirecTV NFL ticket. We're not going to another game. Because if those people think this of us, I think the same of them. And frankly, to hell with the NFL.
Wow. A lot of people thought they would never live to see Lou Dobbs cancel the football package.
No, that's true. I mean, I love football. I love college football. I love, at one time, I loved the professional game. It is not a game anymore. It's a orchestrated attack on all things American, and the hell with them.
You know, you got to blame these owners, though. These are supposedly brilliant businessmen. They should have seen this from the first second where this was headed, nipped it in the bud, said to these players, you can't protest while you're at work. Do it outside of work. I'll back you up all the way. You cannot do it while you're in the office, and this is the office.
Yeah, exactly. And for Roger Goodell to have permitted this, it's a shame. And they're talking about extending his contract. He wants a nine-figure separation package. If they don't tell Goodell to go to hell, I can't imagine what they're thinking. We did learn something, though. Jed York, the owner of the 49ers, where Kaepernick started all of this, called the president of the United States a coward. He has insulted the president. He's insulted the fans. He's sitting in San Francisco. He's one of those owners, and there are several others. Who have been accommodating to this kind of ignorance. And it is. And by the way, every single player who insults the flag in this country is ignorant and hypocritical, because they should be the hell out of the country. Just like Mike Dick has said, if they cannot tolerate this flag, this country, our values, and all that has been achieved over 200 years, you know, then I've got no use for them. I've got no use for them.
It's also got to be the dumbest protest I've ever seen. If your gripe was something to do with police policy, how'd you pick the flag? You know, all of a sudden you got it jumbled into the military, the patriotism. Your cause got lost in all of this.
Yeah, well, and their cause, by the way, why aren't they demonstrating against Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago? More black-on-black violence in that city. More African-Americans are murdered in that city. It's outrageous. I haven't seen the Bears team marching on City Hall. You know, I'm looking at what is happening across this country. You got something to say, do what the rest of us do. You know, say it in the proper format, in the proper place, and that means get it out of the workplace and picket your stadium if you want to. You know, give up those multi-million-dollar contracts if you're so disgusted and appalled by what is America. And God help you, because those folks would be even bigger fools than the ones who are doing this.
Yeah.
And yes, they're being very foolish. They're misguided. I think some of them have obviously good intentions, but when it spills over into an insult against the country, the hell with them.
You know, most of these players are pretty well known. They could go on some interview, some talk show, talk about their cause. I mean, why it became a part of the game. Of course, and they could go on ESPN and talk about it. You can't find a more left-wing network to do that on.
Yeah, and by the way, you know how well that's working out for ESPN?
Yeah.
Their ratings are down 20%, and they think it's smart business to continue to insult their audience, to insult the American people again. And by the way, the networks who are not showing now the national anthem because they don't want to hack off and reduce their audience any further, I mean, that's terrible. absolutely terrible. It's awful. And the fans should demand it, you know, and, or they should not be watching at all. That's the real choice here, I believe.
Hey, you made a great point. I think it was last night about the use of the military on the field, like, as if they're just there to hold the flag.
That infuriates me. It so infuriates me to see a man and a woman in uniform, the U.S. military, standing there holding a flag to fill the field, and they are. What I said last night, I said it burns me. It just infuriates me because it's such an insult to the service, to the service members. And if the NFL wants to honor service members, which they should every damn day instead of insult them, give them a sizable number of tickets for each game. That would be the proper way to express their regard and respect and love of country. You know, it's love of country. It's not just respect. It's about loving this country because it's given millions and millions of Americans over generations and generations great opportunity, and no other place on earth comes even close. And for this to be going on, and by the way, I think, frankly, the history of civil rights in this country, I think the actions and the rhetoric of these players is demeaning to the generations who fought so hard to gain the civil rights, which they now enjoy. And for them to call what they do each day to suggest they are in some way oppressed. And Michael Bennett, the Seahawks defensive star, who ran from a building in Las Vegas and did so in the most cowardly way and then blamed the police because of his actions. He hasn't had the guts to talk about that since he first whined about the police conduct, the body cams, everything else, showing that it was quite a different story. Yeah. It's just one sad element to this story every day, and it's just the players have got to be smart enough to know that they are being used like the tools they've become. You know, this wasn't, by the way, we keep talking about Colin Kaepernick and his protest. It was his girlfriend's protest. She is the one who articulated the philosophy and the tactic in which he followed. You know, we shouldn't be listening to NFL players. We should be talking to her.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, this is pathetic.
You know,
and the sports writers and casters don't have the guts to say it. It's a joke and a sick one. And the players are the butt of it.
Yeah. Sean offered to let any player come on here and talk about his cause. You got 16, 17 million listeners. And how many took him up on it? Zero so far.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you would do the same thing if a player wanted to come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But they don't. What's the cause? What is the cause? I mean, you're sitting there making $1 million a year plus in most instances. You have had a life that is only to be dreamed of for most people in any country in the world. And you have a complaint? No. They've been told to complain. They've been told to act out and to demonstrate. It may be heartfelt, but they didn't get there using their brain or the facts.
Well, again, because I blame the owners. Can you imagine George Steinbrenner? Look what happened when somebody tried to have a mustache or grow a beard. You were out.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I mean, he enforced that throughout his ownership.
Yeah.
And for these owners to be so gutless, I was so proud of Jerry Jones when he said 2 weeks ago that there would be no insult to the flag or there would be consequences. The next thing I know, he's kneeling at, you know, before the game with his players.
Yeah.
Now he's come back and said there will be no more of this. He's attacked by the NAACP. Then he's attacked by some other players and a union. Talk about slavery. Do these fools know what he's paying these players? My God, do they know anything about law? The First Amendment is an anti-government and infringement by the government against one's rights. It is the right of the employer, the private employers, which is every NFL owner and the league, to decide exactly what they will or will not be permitted to say. They're there to play a game.
I hate to say it, but we're out of time. But everybody watch Lou Dobbs tonight and every night, 7 o'clock on the Fox Business Network. It's a number one show there. And get his book, Putin's Gambit. It's a real thriller, a great novel. Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock, Fox Business Network. Lou Dobbs, thanks for being with us.
Mark Simone, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Take care. Oh, and don't forget Hannity tonight, exclusive interview. President of the United States, President Trump, tonight at 9 on Hannity. Well, welcome back. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Don't forget tonight, big special edition of Hannity at 9 o'clock. Exclusive interview with the President of the United States. In fact, Sean is on his way right now to Pennsylvania. They're going to do this in front of a live audience. You'll see it tonight at 9 o'clock. Sean Hannity and President Trump for the hour. So don't miss it. We'll talk to Lou Dobbs in a few minutes. He's been helping the president on the tax plan. We'll get to the Boy Scouts, all kinds of stuff. Oh, Larry Kudlow. We just talked to Lou Dobbs. See what happens when you just tune in? You just missed that. But Larry Kudlow coming up in a few minutes. So we got lots to get to. Remind me to get to the Boy Scouts. They've just made this announcement today. They'll accept girls in the Boy Scouts now, from Cub Scout to Eagle Scout. How's it the Boy Scouts if you accept girls, though? And what happens to the Girl Scouts? I don't know. Hey, I would have gone to more meetings if they had done this when I was a kid. But back then, I don't know. I don't know. I just we got to stop this.
Were you a Boy Scout?
Yes, I was a Cub Scout.
You were?
Yes, I was.
You've come so far.
Yes, I was a Boy Scout. I never made, what do they call that? Weebelos. That was like the highest thing. You used to get merit badges. You had the Pinewood Derby, all that stuff. Yes, why? You don't believe?
I was a Girl Scout. My mother was the Cookie Mother.
You're no Girl Scout.
I'm not anymore. But at one time, I was a Girl Scout. And I have to say, I'm very grateful that there was a clear delineation between Boy and Girl Scouts.
They really taught you a lot. I can see when
it
you...
It did indeed.
The way you go, hey, get out of the way!
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, anyway. So we'll talk to Larry Kudlow in the next hour. Hey, follow me on Twitter. I need a lot of Twitter followers. Mark Simone NY at Twitter. Mark Simone NY at Twitter. Or Instagram, Mark Simone NY at Instagram. You can picture me and Sean up there. And don't forget, tonight, this is big, special edition of Hannity, 9 o'clock. It's Sean and the President, tonight at 9. Welcome back. It's the Sean Hannity Show. Mark Simone here for Sean. Now, the reason he's not here, he's on his way to Pennsylvania to meet with President Trump. They're going to do a big special broadcast tonight at 9 o'clock. It'll be a live one-hour interview with the President of the United States. He's going to have a live audience there. So it'll be at 9 o'clock tonight on the Fox News Channel. Don't miss it. Now, one of our favorite guests, Larry Kudlow. Of course, you see him on CNBC. Larry Kudlow also wrote a book. If you ever never quite understood these tax cuts and what it can do, you should read this book. It's called From JFK to the Reagan Revolution. It's a great book. Larry Kudlow, how are you?
Thank you, Mark. You're so kind.
And give me.
I just need to say one thing. I'm at the airport in Washington. I've been visiting some people in the White House. And the quietest spot in this airport is the small TSA office, and they let me broadcast from here. So I just had to say that for TSA.
Oh, well, Larry Kudlow has been one of the people helping President Trump put together this tax plan. And give me the name of the book again. It's The Reagan Revolution.
Yeah, you got JFK and the Reagan Revolution.
JFK and the Reagan Revolution. You should read this book because it really, really explains how this all began and what, you know, people always say, well, how are you going to pay for these tax cuts? And, of course, they more than pay for themselves.
That's right. And that's what part of the debate is about. Right now, you've got some Obama economists like Larry Summers and some others attacking the Trump people or Trump allies like myself, saying it never works, tax cuts don't promote growth, all it does is blow a hole in the budget deficit. And that is completely wrong, okay? And in our book, we try to walk through this. JFK was the first tax-cutting supply-sider, and we had economic growth of about 5% per year in the 7 years following his tax cuts. I'd say that's pretty good. And Ronald Reagan followed JFK's model in the 1980s. and he had about 4.5% growth, actually for two decades, and the revenues kept rolling in because the economy was growing, jobs were being created, incomes were rising, and the thing did pay for itself. So anyway, that's the case we make in our book, Brian Dmytchevich and I. And it's an easy read, but it does walk through exactly the debates we're having today.
Hey, we should also point out when people say, well, the tax cuts, well, how are you going to pay for them? Let's say you didn't pay for them. Good. Less money to the government. Where did they get the idea that this is a fixed number that they'll be spending forever?
Well, you're a man after my own heart, because I would agree with that. If you're really worried about deficits, why don't you cut spending, cut unnecessary, inefficient spending? There's plenty of that in the budget. And by the way, Mark, right now in Washington, the Senate is trying to pass a budget resolution for this fiscal year, 2018, coming up. And this is very important. So far, the GOP does not have 50 votes. So far. They may get them by the end of the week. There could be a vote tomorrow. But as of some of the senior people Steve Moore and I spoke to today in the White House, there's optimism, but it's not roaring optimism. And if you can't get the budget resolution, you can't get the tax cuts.
Well, Larry Kudlow, since you just came from the White House, give us an idea of where we are in this process here. Are we close to having something to send to Congress?
Well, yes and no. I mean, as I said, you've got to pass a budget resolution. I don't want to get too in the weeds, but, you know, that's the budget for the U.S. government. Spending, revenues, deficits, and so forth. The big issue is spending. The GOP wants some spending cuts, or at least the slower growth of spending. But the key to that is if you don't get this budget resolution, then you can't come back and instruct the Congress on tax cuts. So in other words, the budget comes first, and then inside the budget comes the so-called reconciliation instructions, which is a fancy way of saying what taxes are you going to cut, what tax rates, what are the income brackets going to be, and what are the business taxes going to look like. By the way, I heard today, just to pass this along, President Trump absolutely will not sign a tax cut if the corporate rate, which is now designated to be 20%, if the corporate rate is raised, Trump will not sign it. And I say good for him. Original idea was 15%, and he gave a little on that, but he's not going higher than 20.
All right, but let me ask you, this is the real question, because it's corporate tax is 12, 15% all over the world. We're the only ones that have this crazy 38%. But everybody in Congress, Republicans and Democrats, they like the high corporate tax. That way the corporations have to come to them and buy every little carve-out, every little loophole, every little thing, and they have to spend a ton of money with their lobbyists. Why would these congressmen give that up? If you took it down to 12%, you'd never hear from these companies again.
Well, it's kind of a cynical view, Mark. I'm so surprised.
It is cynical, but it's pretty accurate.
Actually,
if you took the corporate tax rate down, everybody in K Street could close up and go home.
Well, what a great idea that is. I mean, really, get rid of the loopholes, lower the corporate rate. By the way, that means the loopholes are worth less, even if you leave them on the books. But actually, look, American businesses want this. They want to be competitive. You know, we've been losing companies. We've been losing cash. We've been losing jobs because our rate of 35 is way above. The average is about 25, 26. Some of these countries, like, you know, Ireland has 12.5, and Canada's federal rate is, I think, 15. Britain's dropping down to 17. So it's costing us, all right? I know the lobbyists get rich, but, you know, there's 150 million Americans working, and this kind of business tax cut will really help them by bringing companies back to the U.S. and bring in cash. And by the way, I just want to say one of the selling points, I've argued this since we wrote this thing in the campaign, the biggest beneficiaries of a business tax cut, large and small businesses, is not rich people, quote unquote, as the left-wing Democrats are always saying. Instead, it's the middle-income wage earners. And there's a lot of economic research behind that, and it shows that the wage earners, time and again, probably 60 to 70% of the benefits of a business tax cut go to working folks and wage earners. Yeah. And that's a huge selling point, and it also will boost the economy. These people have not had a real wage increase, Mark, a real wage increase since about the year 2000. Really, we've never gone through a dry spell like that. So these business tax cuts are going to be very, very helpful for the economy. Get us to 3-4% growth.
Larry Kudlow, I've heard a lot of things in this tax plan. The one I don't get is, among other things, no longer deduct your state or local taxes. What's the thinking on that?
Well, there's going to be a big battle about that. The thinking is, it's a loophole. The thinking is, why should somebody who lives in Florida or Texas or Oklahoma or wherever, why should they have to subsidize high-spending, high-taxing states like New York, for example, or California or Massachusetts or Connecticut? Why? Why don't the people there have to pay for everything? Why should they deduct it from the federal government? That's unpopular in a lot of places, and it's going to be a real battle, but I think it makes good policy sense, and maybe some of it will get done.
Well, actually, that's pretty logical what you just said. I never thought of it that way, but you're right.
Look, you and I pay taxes in Connecticut. I pay taxes in New York and Connecticut, so I'm a double loser. But, you know, that's a Connecticut problem. That's a New York problem. That shouldn't be an Oklahoma problem. And that's the thinking behind this.
Yeah. Also, you could argue for a state like New York to have these crazy high taxes, it gives them cover if they're deductible. So they're more exposed by having no deduction on them, and maybe might force them to bring down these taxes a little.
That is exactly right. And, you know, the best thing that could happen here, if the state and local deduction were eliminated, there'd be a huge tax revolt in New York, in Illinois, in California, because people would see, and you're right, there is a cover-up here because you can knock off a lot of it against your federal return. So, yeah, so maybe people will, you know, take a sober look at just how bloated their government is and what the heck it's doing for it. The answer is very little. So, yeah. People might come to their senses on this. It's going to be a tough fight. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be a tough fight. But I like it. I still like it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, if you want to read the best book on the tax cuts and what they really can accomplish, get Larry Kudlow's book, JFK and the Reagan Revolution. It's a big bestseller, but get it if you haven't read it. JFK and the Reagan Revolution. And, of course, you can watch Larry on CNBC. And thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mark. Terrific stuff.
All right. Say hello to the TSA for us.
I will. TSA, thank you.
Thanks. He's in a TSA office right now. You know, they frisk you, all that stuff. I think he enjoyed it. He went back again. He's in the office again. But, they're talking about even tougher TSA regulations. Did you see that story about they think they have to be even more invasive?
But I think you should be more excited about the fact that we just had a positive TSA story on the show. I mean, when does that ever happen, ever, anywhere?
What's the positive story?
The TSA was just nice to a conservative man and let him sit in their office and do an interview with you.
Well, that's true, but Larry Kudlow is the most charming guy. They probably recognize him from television.
I mean, that is breaking news if I ever heard it. Hello?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. They did let a conservative, all CNBC.
They thought he was an independent, you know.
Oh, who knows? If he said Fox Business Network, guy, use a payphone down
there. Exactly.
They still have payphones? I don't know. Anyway, we got a lot coming up. We will get to more on the NFL. We'll get to this Russian investigation. That ridiculous House committee is saying they're going to release some stuff, and you'll see what's there. We'll get to Donald Trump, President Trump. We'll get to Harvey Weinstein and more. Hey, follow me on Twitter, Mark Simone NY at Twitter. Follow me on Instagram, Mark Simone NY at Instagram. In fact, some pictures of me and Sean up there, Mark Simone NY at Twitter or Instagram. And don't forget, tonight, big show, 9 o'clock, Fox News Channel, exclusive. Sean Hannity with President Trump for the hour, 9 o'clock tonight. We'll take some calls in just a moment. 1-800-941-SEAN's the number. Welcome back. It's the Sean Hannity Show. Mark Simone here for Sean. We'll get to the NFL. We'll get to Russia. We'll get to President Trump. Speaking of which, big edition of Hannity tonight at 9 o'clock. Exclusive interview with President Trump. That's where Sean is right now. He's on his way down there to meet with the president. They're going to do this big show tonight, 9 o'clock. There'll be a live audience. You can watch it on the Fox News Channel at 9 o'clock tonight. Hey, let's take some calls. Let's go to Brad in Jacksonville, Florida. Been hanging on there forever. Hey, Brad, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Mark, how are you today?
Good.
Great to be on your show. Hey, I'm calling.
It's the Sean Hannity show, but it's great to be on it.
Well, yeah, you're filling in today on the ESPN's Michael Wilbon's comments about Jerry Jones and what he said. you know, the plantation and the players are here to serve me no matter how much I pay them. Isn't that essentially the definition of a job?
Yeah.
I have a job, and my boss pays me to do what he wants to do.
Yeah. I mean, look at me right here. It's like Linda is like the slave owner. I mean, come in here. Do this. Now you read this. Now you do that. Then this guest is on. Then do this.
So, I mean, that's just, he's basically describing a job.
Yeah. You know? And that's why it's a job.
Yeah,
I could come in here and say, I think we'll start the show at quarter after. She's going to say, no, you start it now. I think I'll kneel down. I don't want to stand up for the show. They're not going to let you do that.
Exactly. Yeah, they're not going to let you do that. I mean, and you could take it one step further and say, okay, well, now not only am I being, I'm not to disrespect slavery, go against slavery, but now not only am I a slave, I'm also a prostitute because he's using my body and my mind, or different parts of my body.
Now, listen, I'm looking at you. I don't think anybody wants to use your body, Brad. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm just saying.
Don't try prostitution. I think you might not make a fortune in that area.
Oh, I won't make anything. I can tell you, I'll starve.
Hey, no, you make some good points there. Listen, everybody has the right to protest. Whatever you do for a living, let's say you want to go protest for some cause, good. You can't do it in the office while you're at work, and that's what that stadium is. That's the office. That's where you work. That's the office. Your boss has every right to say, let's say I want to put up a big picket sign or a protest sign. You can't put it up on the office wall. Let's say I want to chant and march. Yeah, you can't do it in the office. But it's that simple. Hey, and most of these players have access to a lot of media. Most of these big football players, any of these football players, they can go on some talk show. They can go on ESPN. They can write a piece for a magazine. They have access to an audience. Go protest there. Let's go to Doug in Indiana. Doug, how you doing?
Hi, Mark. Thanks very much for affording me this forum to express my opinions.
No, go ahead, Doug. We only got about a minute.
I filmed your call screen. You may not remember, depending on how big of a football fan you are, you may not remember, but it was a few years back. Terrell Owens was playing for the 49ers.
Yeah.
And they were in Dallas to play.
All right, but we only got a few seconds, real fast.
He scored a touchdown, went to celebrate on the star at the 50-yard line. George Teague ran for 50 yards away and blindsided him.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the 49ers came to town, they had plans. If Terrell does this again, you know, they're ready to fight, ready to go to war over some painted grass.
Yeah.
But yet they can't understand how veterans who put their lives on the line, who saw their buddies come home in flag-draped coffins, would take offense with what they're up to.
No, that's a very good point. You know, listen, this whole thing is ridiculous. If you deflated the football a millionth of an ounce, they'd be investigating for 6 months. You'd be suspended 4 games. But you're kneeling for that. You won't honor the flag, the national anthem. Well, we don't know. We don't like to interfere. We don't want to get involved. If you dance in the end zone, aren't you out, suspended? I mean, all these things. You can't put a little tiny sticker on your helmet. But disrespect the flag? This whole thing is ridiculous. Anyway, we got lots of stuff to get to, and we'll take some more calls. 1-800-941-SEAN is the number. Don't forget, special edition of Hannity tonight. Exclusive interview. An hour with the president tonight on Hannity, 9 o'clock on the Fox News Channel. Big special edition of Hannity tonight. It'll be Sean and President Trump for the whole hour tonight at 9 o'clock. They're going to have a live audience. Big special program tonight, 9 o'clock, President Trump exclusive interview on the Fox News Channel, of course, tonight at 9 on Hannity. So, Harvey Weinstein, we've got 30 women and counting, 30, 3-0, and that number is rising. I predict, and I'm not kidding, that number goes up to 300 at least. There's a new statement coming out from Weinstein's attorneys, the current ones. He had this dream team, legal team, from Lanny Davis to all these people. Saturday, Lanny Davis quit. Lisa Bloom quit the legal team on Saturday. This is how low do you have to be that Lisa Bloom is worried about her reputation? How how low do you have to be that even lawyers won't take your money? I imagine. Now, the reason he wanted Lisa Bloom, she often represents those kind of women that are always going after the guys. So if you hire her, and even if she's your lawyer only for 5 minutes, she can't represent anybody against you. So even if she came, left, that's okay, because the one reason he wanted her, now she can't represent anybody against him. I think the point of Lanny Davis was he's very big in Clinton world, Democratic world. I think Harvey Weinstein was very worried about getting cut off from all the Obama, Clinton people and all that. He didn't want to be shunned by all of them. So I think that was Lanny Davis's, probably his job, keep that door open. But I think Lanny Davis, he's a nice man, Lanny Davis. I think he realized better get the heck out of there. And I think they all got wind that there was more stuff coming. And, of course, this week more stuff came out, rape charges, rape allegations from three women. There's more coming, all kinds of stuff. The New York Times is working on other stuff. There's a story on, Harvey Weinstein did a Broadway show called Finding Neverland, and it didn't do well. It was a big bomb. And what happens when you have a big bomb, you end up with tons of tickets. You end up with a million tickets you got to get rid of. Something happened there where he donated them to charity, but something, I don't know, that's part of the New York Times investigation. They're working on that. They've already done a story on that. So there's more coming out. That's why lawyers are deserting, and you've got the NYPD. Somebody helped mastermind all this. Somebody very big, as big as Harvey Weinstein or bigger, somebody didn't like him. I think somebody put together an army of detectives and dug up a lot of this stuff. Ronan Farrow, very good reporter, but I don't know that he got all this stuff. Or the New York Times, they're not that good that they got all this stuff, police audio, police reports. So I think somebody help put that together. You hire an army detective, some of them ex-NYPD. They can find out what's going on in there. We don't have the audio, do we? No, actually, we shouldn't play it because this is a family show. You don't want to hear this Harvey Weinstein talking to... Now, this one, this woman, she's an Italian actress, and he grabbed her, he fondled her, he did this, he did that. She went to the police. She told her story. They thought they took it very, very seriously. They wrote it up. There's a police report. This is how seriously they took it. They wired her up and sent her back to see Harvey Weinstein at the hotel where she said, no, 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 I don't want to do this. And you grabbed my breast and that got me all upset. And he said, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And he kept saying that kind of stuff. So it's an admission he did it. Do we have it? And this is Harvey on a date. Take a listen.
I'm telling you right now.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
I don't drink. Can I stay on the bar?
No. You must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you. I'm
very
embarrassing.
I'm sorry. I cannot. No, yesterday was kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person to be touched.
I won't do a thing.
I don't want to.
Everything, please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
Sit with me. I promise. Don't want to.
Please sit there. Please. 1 minute.
No, I
ask you. Let's go to the bathroom.
Please, I don't want to do something I don't want
to. Go to the bathroom. Come here. Listen to me.
I want to go downstairs.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. That's it. If you embarrass me in this hotel.
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
Honey, don't have a fight with me.
It's not nice.
Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear my children. Please come in. On everything. I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now.
Please come in now. And 1 minute. And if you want to leave, when the guy comes with my jacket,
why yesterday you touched my breast?
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that. Come on.
Are you used to that?
Yes, come in.
No, but I'm not used to that.
I won't do it again. Come on. Sit here. Sit here for a minute, please.
No, I don't want to.
If you do this now, you will embarrass me. No. Bye. Never call me again. Okay? I'm sorry. I promise you I won't do anything.
I know, but yesterday was too much for me.
I will never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes.
I know, but it's kind of like, it's too much for me. I can't.
Please, you're making a big scene here.
No,
please.
But I want to leave.
Okay, bye.
They're upstairs in the hotel. How do you make a big scene in the middle? There's nobody there. How is she making a big scene? I guess I've been doing this all wrong. You know, when I meet a woman, it's always, hello, how are you? Look, you look so nice. Could I buy you a drink? I've been approaching this all wrong. See, this is how the big players do it. Sit there. Don't move. All right. 5 minutes. when they say, no, I'm not interested. I don't care. Just come here. Sit there. Don't embarrass me. I don't get this at all. Now, you might say, well, why didn't she run away? Well, because, remember, the police have sent her back, wired up. She's there to incriminate him and get these recordings. So she's got to stay there and listen to this. he has quite a romantic way about him where he just looks in her and says, he sounds like a drooling bear, doesn't he? Now, the other thing I can't figure out, this guy in his business gets financing for all these movies. You know, he gets this from like Goldman Sachs and hedge funds. He goes to meet with these Goldman Sachs type people and he gets them to invest $50 million. Here's $20 million. So I imagine he's quite the salesman. I imagine he can really talk and charm people. And you ever watch him on these talk shows? He's pretty good. Tells stories. He's charming. And he tells you all kinds of great things about the film. Then you hear him with the woman. It's like, hey, hey, Jessica, hey, don't move. Hey, don't embarrass me. And I'm trying to think. Well, see, usually I'm on in New York. We can talk more frankly, but now we're on all around the country. Got to be a little more delicate here. The story about the reporter, he met a female reporter. This was the big story the other day. And she's a female reporter, television reporter, but he still said to her, you know, I happen to be a partner in this restaurant. I'm one of the owners. Let's go back. I'll show you the kitchen. Then they get back there, and he tries to do something with her. She said, no, I'm not interested. I have a boyfriend. I have nothing to do with this. So he takes off his pants and starts himself without her and says, just stand there and be quiet. And apparently he was over very fast. And then you'll notice with this woman, he goes, just a minute, just 5 minutes. That's all you need. This is like, I've heard of speed dating. This is like speed sex. 5 minutes, that's all I need. So, I don't know what to say. Yeah, I guess that's it. He's a New Yorker. He's a Hollywood guy. He listen, sex, I got 2 minutes. Hurry up. That's the way they do things in Hollywood. You know, when you have the meetings with these guys, you know what they call the pitch meeting, where you go in and pitch an idea for a movie? Those things are like, they want two sentences. They're like four-minute meetings. Sex? That okay, 5 minutes for that. And then they're out. That's it. So did you just hear what you just heard? Can you imagine that? You just want to take a shower. He's always in the shower. I want to take a shower after listening to this guy. Horrible. Horrible. And I think we haven't even gotten to the tip of the iceberg yet, believe it or not. You know, first, you heard about these women. And then a lot of famous people have come forward in the last 2 days. You got Gwyneth Paltrow, Mira Sorvino. Who else? Angelina Jolie. There's a whole list. Of course, it started with Ashley Judd. There's a lot of famous actresses. This Mira Sorvino tells a story about they were doing some project together, and he calls them, and I'll come over to your apartment right now. And what? This is like midnight. So she got all freaked out when he suddenly knocked on the door. And she said the only thing that got rid of him was at some point she said, my boyfriend, I just called him. He's on the way over. So then that got him nervous, and he left. But anyway, let's take a call or two. Let's go to Steve in Beacon, New York. Steve, welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good.
Quick and to the point. 2 points. Cyrus Vance should resign immediately. He's a disgrace.
Mal.
He took $10,000 from his attorney 2 months after the fact as a thank you for not pressing charges. Number two is the police should either be suspended or reprimanded for sending her back to actually have to get raped.
Whoa. I'm sure the police, when they sent her back wired up, were probably 20 feet away. You know, it's a wireless microphone, and they had to be to get that audio. But they were right there ready to move in. And usually they give you a code word. If you want them to come in and get you, just say the code word, and they'll be there in a second. As far as Cyrus Vance, he's a friend of mine. He's the New York District Attorney. Generally a very good guy. In this case, it could be that, you know, they're implying that the attorney was so close to him, he got it dropped. That could happen. That happens sometimes. It could also be, and this could be the case, they really think it over. They had just lost a big case that Dominique Strauss-Kahn, you remember the French, big French politician, they'd lost that case. And they might be thinking, you know, it's Harvey Weinstein. He's going to bring in the most incredible legal team in the world. We might lose. We can't afford it. They do consider that very often. Like, what are our odds of winning this case? And every DA thinks of those kind of things. But you're right. They should have, absolutely should have prosecuted him. In this case that you just heard with the recording, that's 2015. So they could still prosecute him. Statute of limitations, they could still go after him. He could still face criminal charges. He is not around right now. He's in some kind of rehab. He said he's gone into rehab. His wife has left him. Hey, also, you notice you have not seen Bill Clinton. I am telling you right now, you will not see Bill Clinton for months. because Hillary's been on a book tour and they've stopped her wherever she is. What do you think? Give us a comment about, well, Bill Clinton cannot leave the House right now, because when they say to him, what do you think about Harvey Weinstein? How the hell is he going to answer? This is like a day in the life of Bill Clinton. You heard that audio? Can you imagine? Well, just wait there a minute. Just give me 5 minutes. Don't embarrass me here in the hotel. So he's in hiding. You won't see him for months to come. Hey, coming up, Tammy Bruce will be with us. We got a lot to get to. We'll get back to the NFL. We'll get to the tax plan. We'll get to all of that. Hey, follow me on Twitter. It's Mark Simone NY at Twitter, Mark Simone NY at Instagram. And don't forget, tonight at 9, this is a big special edition of Hannity. Tonight at 9, exclusive interview with President Trump. There'll be a live audience the entire hour. Tonight at 9 on the Fox News Channel. Hey, welcome back. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity's big special edition of Hannity. Tonight at 9 o'clock, Sean sits down with President Trump for the entire hour. A lot to talk about. Obviously, tonight they're going to have a live audience there, so it'll be quite a show. Tonight, 9 o'clock, Hannity, exclusive interview, President Trump on the Fox News Channel. We'll take some calls. Let's go to Steve in Melbourne, Florida. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Yeah, Mark, Lanny Davis is not a good guy. Just like James Carville and the little penguin George Stephanopoulos, they're scum. And I thought Glenn Beck and his claim...
Well, I would agree with you maybe on George Stephanopoulos, weasel of a guy, but then Lanny Davis is a nice man.
Finish. Lanny Davis is a weasel.
Nah, he's not a
weasel.
He's
your buddy.
I don't. Yeah. I'm not really buddies with him. He's a nice man. He's a, Linda, you deal with Lanny Davis. Nice. How would you agree he's a nice man? I don't see Linda jumping in here so fast.
No, I mean, Lanny is a nice guy.
Nice
I don't
guy.
Agree with his politics, but he is a nice guy.
Yeah.
Not his politics.
Actually, to be honest, you sound like the crabby guy.
Cackle. Keep cackling, buddy. The treatment of women is despicable, and for decades.
He sounds like Harvey Weinstein on a date, doesn't he? Sit there. Don't move. Just 5 minutes. Calm down.
Yeah.
Take a breath. Relax.
This is not funny, and you're
I think it's funny.
Stuff. Oh, the jeez.
Oh, are you upset?
That
didn't mean to upset
funny.
You.
That clip is real funny. Huh? Think about that.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying the show.
Yeah. You're a punk.
All right. This is great. How would you spend New Year's Eve with this guy? That'd be a lot of fun. But no. Who thought I did? No, I just think it's... there's nothing more repulsive than when you heard there. Although, you know what? We do have something pretty repulsive. We'll play it for you a little later. We'll get to that later. Let's go to Jim in Dayton, Ohio, because he's been hanging on a long time. Jim, welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate that. Hey, a couple of things. Lou Dobbs, dead on.
Lou
the
Dobbs.
President and the vice president, dead on, concerning the flag. Let me tell you from our perspective. I'm a Gold Star dad.
Yeah. Sorry for
this
your
country.
Loss.
That's fine. Thank you. This country was founded one folded flag at a time. And that's a national debt that you cannot repay. Something else to think about. The nation does not achieve greatness by the men and the women that it produces, but it achieves greatness by the men and the women that they honor and remember. John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Wow.
The words still ring true today.
Hey, Jim, I don't mean to cut you short, but we got a break here, but you win. Absolutely best call of the week, maybe the month, and maybe the year. Thanks for calling. Excellent. Look at that. We had the best call of the year and the worst call of the year, back to back. Perfect.
But, you're welcome.
No, those are that was beautifully said. And I don't know that John F. Kennedy quote, but that's a great, great quote. Hey, Tammy Bruce, always interesting. She'll be with us in the next hour. We got lots to talk about. It's Mark Simone here for Sean. Don't miss Hannity tonight. Exclusive interview with the president. Hey, it's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Sean's not here. He's on his way to Pennsylvania. He's doing a big special edition of Hannity tonight at 9 o'clock on the Fox News Channel. Exclusive interview with the President of the United States, President Trump, for the entire hour tonight. They'll have a live audience. Watch it tonight at 9 on the Fox News Channel. Sean will be back here tomorrow. Tammy Bruce, one of the smartest people around, a great talk show host herself, columnist. You see her on the Fox News Channel, and one of the most interesting people of all. Tammy Bruce, how you doing?
Well, you're very kind. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, thanks for being on. Harvey Weinstein, did you hear, let's take a listen to this. Did you hear what Donna Karen had to say? Take a listen to this.
I think we have to look at ourselves. Obviously, the treatment of women all over the world is something that has always had to be identified. Certainly in the country of Haiti where I work, in Africa, in the developing world. It's been a hard time for women. To see it here in our own country is very difficult. But I also think, how do we display ourselves? How do we present ourselves as women? What are we asking? Are we asking for it? You know, by presenting all the sensuality and all the sexuality? You know, and what are we throwing out to our children today? You know, about
that's a huge question,
how to dance and, you know, how to perform and what to wear. You know, how much do they show?
Well, you get the idea. That's Donna Karen, but she's saying if you dress provocatively, you look too good. I mean, look at me. Could you look better than me? Am I asking for it, Tammy Bruce?
The irony of this fashion designer who then had previously just described in the same comments, in the same breath, how you've got the sexual assault problem in Haiti and in Africa and around the world. And the fact of the matter is, of course, it's not about how we dress. It's not about, effectively, you're saying we're asking for it. It's about the nature of power and control. Rape is never about attraction. Rape is about control, as is sexual assault. And Weinstein is a perfect example. This was about humiliation, which then is a lead-in to denigrating any self-esteem, any confidence, and having complete control over someone. And it's not just about heterosexuality. It's about homosexuality. And also Hollywood's problem with the way that they sexually treat children. So this is what's unfortunate. She's a generation ahead of us. And she was in her teens in the late 60s and early 70s, where we were supposedly within the gay and the feminist and the black civil rights movements raising our consciousness. And here she is now in the 21st century repeating what they were saying in the 50s. I mean, this is to avoid, and this is the other irony, for her to avoid as being part of the establishment and being a liberal, to avoid being able to complain and accept the nature that it is liberals involved in this, that this is her group, and to that degree of just trying to, in some ways, even subconsciously. Now, since then, Mark, she has said she was taken out of context. But I really is. I'm glad you played it. Yeah. I don't know what context to take those comments other than directly.
You know, the other thing, I didn't understand this whole Weinstein thing of, well, you just stand there and I'll take care of myself and you just stand there and watch. What possible satisfaction are you going to get from that? But I think you explained it. I was trying to figure that out. It's about humiliation. It's about
power.
Yes,
exactly. That's it. I mean, and so people are wondering, because everybody's trying to put on some kind of attach, some logical sexual aspect to this. There is none. And it is about control and humiliation. That's what rape is. The silver lining here is we're going to have this conversation again, but also the fact that Hollywood as a whole has to address this kind of soft sex trafficking that is engaged in through this process, and that they have been protected by liberal politicians with whom they throw money at, and they're protected effectively by the media, which are also liberals. And this is also, I think, really due to new media and to the diaspora, if you will, of journalism, that there's no real centralized control over media coverage anymore. And as a result, I think it's a little bit easier for individual journalists. And even like in the New York Times, you know, pigs will fly on occasion, for the New York Times to be able to do this. Kudos to them and to Ronan Farrow at New York Magazine also for following up on this as well. But let's not make a mistake here. It's not just Weinstein. They're presenting this as though he's the problem, or this is so big and it's only him. You know, Ben Affleck just had to apologize for groping an actress, and he is one of Weinstein's proteges. And it's like mentor, like mentee. I mean, this is everywhere. It's producers, it's actors, it's directors, it's writers, it's everyone who is in any kind of position of power.
Yeah, the Ben Affleck thing, I just put it up on Twitter if you want to see it. It's ridiculous. He defended Harvey Weinstein. But then there's this TV interview from years ago where she's sitting on his lap during the TV thing and he's groping her on camera. Why would he do that?
Yeah, well, this is the issue when it comes to bubbles, because you're surrounded by it all the time. And you just get used to doing it. And this is the same problem with politicians. There's a point where you get so stuck in that realm, that's the only world that you know, and then people begin to behave in a manner that they've gotten away with forever, because they have. And it just becomes second nature, and they forget. They forget. And we're finally, though, we're just – and I know the problem – so many of us have been hearing – and this is a problem from the left, of course, always – lecturing conservatives, lecturing the right, lecturing everyone who's not them, that there are moral betters. And there's a tendency to maybe close off to these arguments about sexism and sexual assault. But it's important to not let the bad guys in this instance, the left, close you off to the reality. They've done all this kind of deflection because they don't want you looking at them. And now finally, at least for this moment, that seems to have changed.
Now, you got a column coming out. This is really interesting because, you know, for instance, with the terrible shooting, there was Hillary Clinton with a millisecond making a comment. She was all over that. With this Harvey Weinstein incident, nothing. 5 days later, CNN started to demand she comment, and she was forced to say something. But why would it take her so long?
Well, see, that's fascinating. And it was like, you know, we knew that within moments of her waking up the morning of the horrific massacre, she was blaming the NRA for Las Vegas. So she went right to it. This took 5 days for her to figure out what to say. But even then, the statement that was issued was like a robot issued it. I mean, it was like written by a computer. It was so she didn't even really condemn Harvey Weinstein. She condemned the behavior. We're kind of used to that, right, Mark? It's like that we're at war with terrorism and not radical Islam. I mean, this is, you see that throughout this. And then she says, my favorite part was where she says, this kind of behavior won't be tolerated from the woman who has been tolerating it in public for decades.
It was going on in her own house in Arkansas.
The tolerator in chief is the woman saying how it won't be tolerated. This is how disconnected they are from the real world. And it's why women have always been suspicious of her, because we know that, look, she's a serial liar. She says this kind of stuff can't be tolerated. She lauds the women who came up and confessed about him. And that is, of course, everything she did not do. And his wife has announced she's leaving him. Obviously, something else that Hillary Clinton didn't have the self-esteem to do for herself either.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, you've explained a lot. The same thing with Bill Cosby, because a lot of people would say a guy like that, a guy like Harvey Weinstein, I would imagine if he wanted sex, he could get it, and plenty of women would want to sleep with him. But they say that with Cosby, too. It was not about sex. It was about power and control and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see, part of my column for tomorrow in the Washington Times also addresses powerful women who are able to escape these environments but still say nothing in an effort effectively to either maintain the safety of their career or because the silence and doesn't disrupt anything, and so their career moves along unencumbered. Now, I'm not talking about the powerless ingenues or the young people who really have no resources and no real way to make a difference in that their career really would be over. I'm talking about the very successful, powerful, independent women who in Hollywood, as we know now that Angelina Jolie is an example, a great actress, a woman many people like. She confessed that she had been harassed by him when she was younger, and yet now after so many years as one of the most powerful women in Hollywood, she still said nothing. When women of that caliber, if they were to come together and condemn and pull out individuals who are known predators, this could have ended a long time ago. But they don't do it, and it's partly our responsibility. It's a shame that it is. But we know that it will stop when women point a finger. And it doesn't have to be those at most risk. It can be the women who have power. And inevitably, often, if not most times, they don't do it, and we've got to start stepping up.
And we don't know this women like that. It could have been 35 other guys, too, in Hollywood, other Harvey Weinsteins.
Well, it would be. Look, Mira Savino, an actress, and Rosanna Arquette, and Rose McGowan, all believe that because they said no to him, their careers were negatively impacted. Now, how is that possible? Because Weinstein doesn't control every studio, but it is possible when there is the secret, and if you are going to betray one person, it means that the rest can't trust you. And it means that, yes, everyone has an interest in maintaining the status quo, and that Weinstein, certainly, as we know, is not the only one. The casting couch has been kind of a joke from the beginning of the industry at the turn of the last century. Now we realize, of course, nothing has changed. So this is where a lot of people should be concerned. I, on Twitter, suggested that there should be a U.S. attorney investigation into who knew, if there was collusion, if the money came from a publicly held company. Disney owns Weinstein, the Weinstein Company. What Disney knew, and who else was involved in these issues? And I think that that is something that they should consider, considering the activity involved and the number of people involved. And things that seem to be covered up.
Well, it's a powerful column, and it'll be tomorrow in the Washington Times.
Yes, thank you. Yes, indeed.
Tammy Bruce's column, Washington Times. And also, you can go to foxnews.com. We can also read you quite a bit there, right?
That would be great. And my website is tammybruce.com, conveniently named after me. So people can get all they need at any one of those. You're a doll for mentioning it.
And one of the smartest people around, one of the best columnists around, TammyBruce.com. And get this column tomorrow in the Washington Times. You can see her on the Fox News Channel, of course, but go to TammyBruce.com. Tammy Bruce, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. We'll take some calls in a minute. 800-941-SHAWN is the number. Now, don't forget, tonight, this is a big broadcast. Hannity at 9 o'clock tonight. Exclusive interview with President Trump for the whole hour. There'll be a live studio audience. Well, actually, yeah, it will be on location, but that's where Sean is right now, on his way to Pennsylvania to do this interview with President Trump. It's 9 o'clock tonight on the Fox News Channel. Back in a moment. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Welcome back. It's the Sean Hannity Show. Mark Simone here for Sean. He's on his way to Pennsylvania because tonight, big special edition of Hannity at 9 o'clock. It'll be an exclusive interview with President Trump. But there's a lot to talk about tonight. This will be a riveting hour. President Trump for the whole hour, live audience, Hannity tonight at 9 o'clock. In fact, we have some amazing Bill Clinton, Harvey Weinstein audio we'll get to in a minute. Let's take a call. Let's go to John, Utahville, South Carolina. John, how you doing?
Hey, Mark. It's an honor and pleasure.
Thanks.
Got a couple of things. One thing is with regard to the kneeling. If you recall, Pete Rozelle fined Jim McMahon back in the 80s for wearing an Adidas headband. He nipped that one right in the bud quickly. Now, that's what Goodell should have done. But now he's got egg all over his face. The owners have a mess on their hands. What they ought to do at this point is go ahead and make it known to the players that if you take a knee during the national anthem, which is, of course, in direct conflict.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. The reason they crack down on wearing a logo or Adidas or anything is it's revenue to them, those advertising. If the players are going to start doing it, cost them revenue. They didn't see in the beginning how much this could cost them. This could be billions in lost revenue, lost ratings, lost everything, lost attendance, all because of this kneeling. They should have got this right away in the first second.
Well, here's what they should do at this point. Make it known to them, if you go ahead and you continue this, we're going to rip up your contract for insubordination, and we'll get somebody from college to go ahead and fill your shoes.
Well, that sounds good, but the problem is you got the players' union, which is all tangled up in this. The players' union has been fighting for this, but the players' union is run by supposedly smart business guys who should have also seen what's down the road revenue-wise, contract-wise. Hey, you start lowering the ratings of football games. If you start lowering attendance, if you start lowering revenue to the football teams, at some point that's going to catch up to you in those contracts. Lower revenue, less salary. So the owners, who are billionaires, supposedly great businessmen, from the beginning didn't see down the road at where this was going, and the players' union didn't see where this is all leading. I think they're all starting to see it now, and they thought maybe this is a little President Trump, a little silly. What is he lashing out at? They didn't realize he was dead right, and he saw this. There's one thing about President Trump. He can look down that road. The second this happened, he could see so clearly where the public would be on this and where to go on this. The owners, even the union, painted themselves into a corner right now, and you see them now, even this idiot Roger Goodell, desperately trying to get out of this corner he painted himself into. He has made a mistake every step of the way, Goodell, from who's that player dragging his wife out of the elevator to everything. Remember Deflategate? Ooh, he might have taken a half ounce out of a football. Goodell went nuts. He was all over this. But this, asleep, nothing. Anyway, I think they figured it out. When we come back, I'll play you some amazing audio, Harvey and Bill. Don't forget Hannity tonight at 9 o'clock, exclusive interview with the president on the Fox News. Hey, welcome back. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Sean's on his way to Pennsylvania. Well, I imagine he's already there now because they're doing a big special broadcast tonight. Don't miss us at 9 o'clock on the Fox News Channel, special edition of Hannity, live interview with the president of the United States the whole hour. There's lots to talk about. There's North Korea. There's Harvey Weinstein. There's the NFL. They'll have a live audience. They'll do this tonight, 9 o'clock, Hannity, exclusive interview with President Trump. Speaking of which, Bill Clinton, you know, they very close to Harvey Weinstein, big Democrat, big donor, Harvey Weinstein, not just a donor, a bundler. That means you're bringing in tremendous amounts of money for Obama, for Hillary, for Bill Clinton. And through the years, it all started with Bill Clinton, Harvey and Bill Clinton. Very good friends. Usually if you become friends with somebody, you see, what do you have in common? Do you both play golf? Do you both like this? So I guess they found something in common that they like to do. And now who's this? This is Harvey introducing Bill Clinton. This is years ago.
No, it's from right after the election.
Oh, it's right after the election? This is Harvey and Bill Clinton. Take a listen.
Like everybody probably in this room, we suffered a nightmare as a country. And, you know, I've seen the crimes, the hate crimes, and, you know, the prejudice against women and the progress that people made on climate control, all of that starting to be peeled away.
Seen it. He caused it.
The LGBT community, civil rights, schools, Second Amendment, assault rifles, it's all just going away. But as long as my friend is here with me and with the American people, then I don't think we're going to have to worry. We're going to have to fight, but at least we've got somebody who's an inspiration. Ladies and gentlemen, William Jefferson Clinton, President of the United States.
Wow. Well, thank God we had Harvey fighting against sexism. Now, that was when Bill Clinton got elected? That was years ago.
No, this was right after the Trump election.
Oh, okay. So that's like a year ago. And there, boy, he went right down to all the talking points, guns, racism, sexism, climate change. But they're very good friends. And what do you think they talked about in private when they were alone, you know? What did Bill say? Yeah, I like to do it right in the office. You know, it's quicker. You don't have to go anywhere. He probably said, no, I start with a bathrobe. That way, just quicker. Well, you know, I don't know. I can't wear a bathrobe in the office now. These two guys. And think about this. Anthony Weiner, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Clinton. What do these guys have in common? Hillary. They're all close to Hillary. How does she know every pervert in politics? She somehow ends up with all this. She's like a pervert magnet. They're all friends of hers. It's like one big circle of all this. Unbelievable. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Bill in California. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Bill?
All right. Listen, I'm an actor and a special effects artist in Hollywood. I'm going into my 50th year now. I sound younger, but I've been around since I was 16. And I want to make sure that people know that the same actresses that would support or that would go against the Harvey Weinstein stood up for homosexual casting directors that tried to put the make on young male actors. And I have an experience that happened to me with a guy named Marvin Page.
Whoa. I'm mentioning names here. Not that we don't believe you, but
He passed away in 2013, and I don't care because there's a lot of complaints against the guy.
Yeah. So what happened? You was like a casting couch kind of deal?
Well, I was mentored by Gene Roddenberry of Star Trek, who knew the producers of the Planet of the Apes television series. Yeah. I was also mentored by John Chambers, who won the Oscar for the Planet of the Apes makeup for the Charlton Heston film. So I could do both. Once Roddenberry got me over to 20th Century Fox, and once the doors were closed with the casting director, okay, the guy started trying to put the make on me because I was older, but I looked very young for my age.
Oh.
So he thought he would get the best of both worlds, legal and young boyish looking. And he would do crazy things, very bizarre things. Like he wanted me, and he knew he had I had a girlfriend who was with her parents in Texas that weekend seeing her brother. And he was asking me what I was doing that weekend, and I knew exactly what he was talking about. So I just looked him in the eyes, and I said, Marvin, I've got my own circle of friends, if you know what I mean. And he was trying to get me to come over, and he would have a copy of Daily Variety sitting on his desk.
Uh-huh.
And he would ask me to reach over his shoulder and turn the pages for him like a cabana boy, knowing that trying to reach across the chair and his shoulder, there's no way that I couldn't make contact with him physically. And
oh,
there were things like that that went on.
Well, hey, now, but listen, now, you're an actor, and you say you've been doing this 50 years, so you must have been to a million casting things, a million producers. What percentage would you say this stuff came up?
It didn't come up very often with other people.
So it's like less than 1% of the time?
Yeah. He was so well known in Hollywood, though, that I would go to other casting calls and would be sharing offices with them. He ruined my chances getting on Star Trek the Motion Picture. He ruined my chances on getting on the Logan's Run television series. And I was in the Logan's Run movie.
Well, how do we know you had any chance anyway?
Well, I had a chance because of the people I had worked with before and because of the talent. I am a talented actor and a voice artist, and this guy single-handedly ruined my acting career, which drove me to outside shows that I produced myself, drove me more into special effects. So I've got about 130 special effects credits, but that doesn't change the fact that my passion of acting was completely destroyed by this guy because of the power that he had.
Well, it sounds terrible, but you chose a crazy business to go into anyway. This is... I mean, it's a horrible thing. It's awful, but it just goes to show you. It goes on with all kinds of men, women. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling. It's interesting stuff. What did you say? Linda's whispering in my ear. Atlanta. Oh, Alana. I thought you said Atlanta. Let's go to Alana. Alana in Minneapolis,
yep.
Minnesota. Hey, Alana, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Let me check. Not bad. Not bad.
Say, just a little comment on Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie's coming out of their being abused or whatever Weinstein did to them.
Well, they weren't abused, but he made a pass at them, I think. I don't think it was as bad as the other ones.
Well, they could have still said something. They come from Hollywood elite with their families. You know, they didn't have anything to fear for their career. So I feel that they're complicit in allowing that to go on and out of setting.
Well, they probably are, but there's two things. One, maybe this goes on with 50 people that they know, and it's not that uncommon. That's why they didn't say anything. Or... they don't want to get sued and be in court and have to deal with this. You know, sometimes it happens. You just want to get the hell out of there and forget about it. You know,
something,
and he comes after you and sues you. Now you're tied up with this for a year of your life. It's all, you know, let's say were you. You'd think about that, wouldn't you?
I mean, I guess it depends on what he did.
Well, in their case, again, it wasn't, I would assume in their case, it was just more kind of coming on to them, but. It's that's the here's a guy. Look at all the lawyers he's got now. He's got a whole legal team he put together, and you start to think this guy will sue me. I'll be in court a year and a half on this. I'll end up having to hire a lawyer. I mean, sometimes you just want to forget about it.
Yeah, sure, I get it. Hey, can I quick comment on NFL?
Yeah.
I got a solution.
Go ahead.
So I think the NFL should just tell the networks, don't put the cameras on the kneelers or the standers during the national anthem. You show the performers and the flag. That's it. You don't talk about it. Maybe it'll go away.
Yeah, you could do that. Although, if you're the owner, just say you can protest all you want. Not in the office. This is your office. This stadium is your office. There's no protesting here. If you really want to be nice about it, you say, you know what? You can stay in the locker room till the anthem is played if you want. But no protesting on the field. The field is our office. Protest all you want outside of the office. And that's it. Hey, speaking of Harvey Weinstein, by the way, you know he's got this whole legal team. He hired David Boies. That's a very, very serious lawyer. That's big cases. That's a member of the government went after Microsoft. That's David Boies. Bush v. Gore. So when you hire David Boies, it means you got a serious problem. But it's just it was announced not long ago. He has also just hired a criminal lawyer. So he's worried about criminal charges. He's hired a criminal lawyer. Now, this could be the case we know about, the woman who had gone to the NYPD in 2015. They documented the whole thing. They got audio of him that's incriminating. But there might also be other women that have come forward with rape allegations. This could go criminal at any point. So Harvey Weinstein has hired a criminal lawyer. Let's go to who's been hanging on the longest. Let's go to Fred in Huntington Beach. Hey, Fred, welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, how you doing there, Mark?
Good.
You can call me Freeway Freddy because we just put up on the 710 freeway in L.A. Shame on the NFL disrespecting our anthem and flag. Turn off the TV.
And who paid? You paid for a billboard?
Absolutely, my friend.
Wow. That's pretty good there. So, and the billboard company didn't give you a hard time? They took your ad?
They took our ad.
Wow. Very good. All right, Fred. Would you want to be called Freeway Freddy?
You can call me Freeway Freddy. You know.
All right, Fred. Thanks for being with us. Hey, we want to bring you President Trump. He's speaking live right now about the tax plan. He's in Pennsylvania.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be back in Pennsylvania with the proud men and women of the American Trucking Associations. We love Pennsylvania, and we love our great truckers. I also want to thank all of our wonderful members of Congress who are here with us today. Should I read their names? Yes? Then I will. Representative Lou Barletta, great guy, running for governor. He's running for the Senate. He's running for this. Where's Lou? So I heard he was running for governor, but then I heard he was running for the Senate. He's going to win. You're going to win big. You're going to win big, Lou. Good luck. A friend of mine for a long time, Representative Mike Kelly. Thank you, Mike. Tom Marino, going to be the drug czar. He's going to do a great job. Tom Marino. Thank you, Tom. It'll be amazing. The drug czar. Patrick Meehan. Patrick. Thank you, Patrick. Scott Perry. Scott. And Lloyd Smucker. Lloyd, thank you. Thank you, Lloyd. I also want to thank a couple of very special people. They've been fantastic in what they've done. Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, who's here someplace. Dave. And Gary Cohen, Director of the National Economic Council. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. And Mike Terzai, the Speaker of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. Thank you, Mike. I think that's enough, right? That's enough. We'll start losing the crowd, Mike. Before we begin, I want to take a moment to address some of the recent tragedies that have struck our incredible nation. In the darkest moments, the light of our people has shone through like seldom before, their goodness, their courage, and their love. No destructive force on earth is more powerful than the strength and resilience of the American people. We are praying for all of the families affected by the horrific mass shooting that took place in Las Vegas. We grieve with you, and we will never leave your side. Our hearts are also with the victims of the wildfires in California's Napa and Sonoma valleys. And they are wild and dangerous fires. And we have FEMA out there right now, along with a lot of first responders, doing an incredible job with everybody else. And they really have done a very incredible, and it's a very dangerous job. My FEMA people are incredible. Incredible. We've issued a disaster declaration and are working closely with state government. The recovery effort is fully underway for those impacted by the recent catastrophic hurricanes. Through these difficult times, we have witnessed the unbreakable spirit of our nation. Together, we will restore, rebuild, and return stronger than ever before. That's what's happening. We are here today to discuss our vision for America's economic revival, which has already started. It started on November 8th. We want lower taxes, bigger paychecks, and more jobs for American truckers and for American workers. It's happening. Nothing gets done in America without the hardworking men and women of the trucking.
That's President Trump. He's in Pennsylvania speaking now. He's going to be with Sean. That's where Sean is right now, actually, in Pennsylvania. They're going to do a special live broadcast tonight, 9 o'clock on the Fox News Channel, an hour with the president, Sean Hannity and the president, for an hour tonight, 9 o'clock, Fox News Channel. Back in a moment. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Welcome back. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Special edition of Hannity Tonight. Exclusive interview with the president. The whole hour. There'll be a live audience. That's tonight on Hannity, President Trump. Hey, you know, Sean, executive producer of a movie, Let There Be Light. It opens October 27th. Let There Be Light. It'll be in theaters all over the place October 27th. I hear music already. That's it? I just got here 3 hours ago. But thanks for listening. Thanks to everybody who called in and all of our great guests. And don't forget, tonight there's a big show, Hannity at 9 o'clock. Exclusive interview, one whole hour with the President of the United States tonight on Hannity, 9 o'clock on the Fox News Channel. Follow me on Twitter, Mark Simone NY at Twitter, or Instagram, Mark Simone NY. Sean will be back tomorrow.